Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com. It is a puzzling thing. There have seldom been such a public embarrassment or public scandal involving the Roman Catholic Church as the one that has now gone on for, well, if you really count back to when the scandal began and people started hearing about it, you're talking about half a century. But the public eye focused in on the priestly abuse scandal has been at least 20 years and continues to get worse with every revelation. And yet, the puzzling aspect of it is that so many remain Roman Catholic, in spite of the fact that they decry that this is happening in their church. They are personally scandalized by it. How do we explain that loyalty of Roman Catholics to their church? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be explaining Roman Catholic loyalty to their church with Dr. Corey Moss. He's a regular guest, assistant professor of history at Hillsdale College, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Is There Any Church Abuse Too Far for the Catholic Faithful? Dr. Moss, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
What kind of reaction did you get to your previous column in The Federalist, Protestant Questions for Scandalized Catholics Who Still Remain Catholic?
Well, I got all of the kinds of responses you would expect from something that gets published on the internet. I received personal correspondence from people thanking me, including those who are still Catholic and wrestling with the question of whether they should remain Catholic, from former Catholics who thought that I nicely summed up some of the reasons why they felt they needed to leave the church. I also got, of course, objections explaining that I misunderstood either the scandal itself, the nature of the scandal, the Catholic doctrine of the church. But there were three replies that were published, two at the Federalist, one on another website. The two at the Federalist both actually responded to the question that was asked, namely, is there a better reason to remain Catholic in light of the scandals than the reasons some prominent Catholics had given in places like the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere? And I thought they offered what I would consider more official answers. And so they were, in some respects, better answers than the ones I had responded to in that first article. So, yeah, it was a very mixed response, and I suppose that's to be expected.
So let's deal with a couple of the issues that were raised, and I think probably maybe fair representation of many American Roman Catholics. And one of them has to do with the nature of the Eucharist. Now, I think Catholics often assume, as a side note, that Lutherans do not believe in the real presence because we differ with them on perhaps the explanation for the real presence there, but we certainly affirm that. But often we hear Roman Catholics, I stay because this is the only place where I can receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of my sins in the Eucharist. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, that's right. And as you indicate, there are different reasons that people say that. And so some of them will say, well, I have to remain Catholic because nobody else actually believes in the real presence. To which a confessional Lutheran would say, well, of course, that's not true. We believe in the real presence. So the more sophisticated reply is, well, you Lutherans might believe that Christ is truly present in the sacrament, but on Lutheran altars, he's not actually present in the sacrament because your pastors are not validly ordained, and therefore they do not possess the power to make Christ present in the sacrament.
Just explain that to us. There's a bit of Roman Catholic theology that undergirds that. How would you briefly explain that? And it's not a nuance. It's a very serious belief on the part of Roman Catholics.
It is, that's right. So it goes back to the question of the Catholic understanding of apostolic succession. So Christ, of course, calls to himself 12 apostles, and breathes on them the Holy Spirit and sends them out to do their apostolic ministry. They appoint successors. So in the Catholic understanding, they appoint and consecrate bishops in the various towns. And the ordination to the office of the ministry and the consecration of an ordained priest to the office of the bishop confers on that individual an indelible character, an unchanging quality. And part of that quality or that power passed on from the apostles through the bishops is the actual power to transubstantiate the elements, to make the bread become Christ's body, and to make the wine become Christ's blood. And so the argument is, if your clergy are not in that apostolic succession, having been ordained by legitimate bishops, they have not received the power to confect or of the sacrament, or to make Christ present in the sacrament. So we're going through the motions, we're kind of, playing at communion, but we don't realize that we're not actually consuming Christ's body and blood because our clergy haven't been given the power to do that.
So that might explain why a Roman Catholic wouldn't become a Lutheran from their perspective. But does it explain why they would stay in the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, no, it doesn't. And that was the one of, I think, the misunderstandings in reply to my first article. The folks who replied in objection tended to think that I was asking, why don't you become Protestant? And so they, I think, very accurately explained why they don't feel that they could in good conscience become Protestant. But they're forgetting about this other, huge ecclesiastical body known as Eastern Orthodoxy. And even on Roman Catholic theological grounds, the Eastern Orthodox do have a valid apostolic succession. Their bishops are real bishops who have the power to ordain priests, and those priests, receive the indelible character and the power to confect the sacrament. So, understandably, if a scandalized Catholic is disillusioned with the Catholic hierarchy and is frustrated that there seems to be no place to go, it would seem to me that if the issue was really the Eucharist, they would recognize that even on Catholic principles, they can find the Eucharist, Christ truly present, in Eastern Orthodoxy. They're not without options.
That invites us then to kind of press a little more on those responses, because, and it's not unrelated, to talk about apostolic succession and the claim of the Roman Church to not only have a valid apostolic succession, but to have, I think they might say, divine institution of the papacy.
That's right. And so this is the next question I raised in my most recent article. If the issue of Christ being present in the Eucharist is not, even on Catholic grounds, unique to the institution of the Catholic Church, but what does make the Catholic Church unique? What does distinguish it not only from all of the various Protestant denominations, but also Eastern Orthodoxy? And I think the most obvious thing that stands out is the doctrine of the papacy, which is not recognized by Eastern Orthodoxy or by Protestantism. And so I wanted to raise the question of, well, what exactly is that doctrine, and how does it relate to some of the replies to my previous article, and how might that inform what a Catholic thinks about whether or not he has to remain Catholic, or whether he might be free to, I hate to use the word church shop, but if he were really disillusioned and disheartened by what he saw in his or her own congregation, could a person in good conscience go elsewhere?
This raises a huge question, because we have to be able to sort out the degree to which the claims about the papacy made by the Roman Catholic Church are connected to claims about the Eucharist or to claims about one's individual salvation, don't we?
Well, that's right. And that was in my first article, which was, I think, at the end of last month. I was just kind of highlighting two prominent responses to the question, why remain Catholic? One of those responses was a very positive well, it's not about the clergy and their sins. It's not about the hierarchy and their covering up of sins. What this is fundamentally about, this Christianity thing, is about Christ and Christ alone. So my response to that was, well, if that's really the case, then surely you could become Protestant or Orthodox or anything else, because we're saying the same thing. It's about Christ alone. You don't have to remain Catholic if you are struggling with the claims of the church or the actions of the church. The other and opposite ply was not quite so not quite so ecumenical or cheery. That claim was, well, no, we remain Catholic because Christ is found only in Catholicism. And so in my first article, I raised the question of, well, what, you know, which is it? I mean, I think if you really believe Christ is present only in the Catholic Church and there is no Christianity outside of the Catholic Church, that's a very good reason for remaining Catholic, however scandalous things might look at the present moment. But that's not really the Catholic position. And so some of the replies to that first article tried to nuance that and to say, well, no. The modern Catholic Church does recognize that there are Christians outside of the Catholic Church. And so, you know, anyone who says that one cannot be a Christian outside of the Catholic Church is contradicting formal official Catholic theology. And so in response to that, the most recent article, I wanted to raise questions about that. Is that really the case? I mean, certainly the Second Vatican Council in the 1960s says things to that effect. But even the most recent catechism talks about, you know, the papacy being a defining essential element of the church. And it refrains from talking about non-Catholic denominations as actual churches. So if you're not part of the church, can you still be a Christian? That's the question that I wanted to raise.
Dr. Corey Moss is our guest. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Is There Any Church Abuse Too Far for the Catholic Faithful? When we come back, we will explore the point he just raised in a little more detail. Stay tuned.
According to the prosperity gospel, Christ's torment upon Calvary's cross was insufficient, insufficient to atone for the sins of humankind.
Hank Anagraff of the Bible Answer Man, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Joyce Meyer is emphatic, going so far as to say you cannot go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell. So when Jesus said it is finished, the prosperity teachers say, no, it has just begun.
You can listen to Hank Anagraff's presentation, Making the Case Against the Prosperity Gospel, on a recording from both of our 2018 Making the Case conferences. This recording contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Find out more and order at issuesetc.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards. EMMANUEL www.ccpress.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are answering the question, why do Roman Catholics remain loyal to their church in spite of the scandals that have been rocking the Roman Catholic Church throughout the world? Dr. Corey Moss is our guest. He's assistant professor of history at Hillsdale College. You can listen to Dr. Moss's colleague at Hillsdale, Dr. Mark Kaltoff, making the case against revisionist history on a recording of our spring and fall Making the Case conferences. We'll send you a thumb drive or an audio DVD for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $300 to Issues Etc. You can order online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. It's almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching on a recording of the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. So picking up where we left off, Dr. Moss, if, according to the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy is the very essence of the church, and those Christians outside the Roman Catholic Church of fellowship with the papacy are regarded as, I think the term they use is ecclesial communities in the Roman Catholic Catechism, where do we go from there in answering this question about Roman Catholic loyalty to their church and why they remain Catholic?
Well, that's a really good question, because the question of whether or not subjection to the papacy, recognition of the primacy of the papacy by divine right, the infallibility of the papacy, the question of whether those are in fact of the essence of the church are confusing questions. There's a time when they were not confusing. So I mentioned in this most recent article that in the 14th century, Pope Boniface VIII, in an official formal declaration, said quite explicitly that it is absolutely necessary for salvation that all humans be subject to the Roman pontiff, to the Pope, that is. And precisely that same position was reiterated a couple of hundred years later at the Fifth Lateran Council, which Roman Catholicism considers to be an ecumenical council, and therefore of a very high degree of authority. And even into the 20th century, the Catholic Encyclopedia kind of takes that as a given and says that, this has been the consistent teaching of the Church. And so, those who are not Catholic are not part of Christ's sheepfold, that they're not among Christ's faithful. So, I mean, this is a long-standing official teaching of the Church, but it's very different from the apparently official teaching of the 20th century Second Vatican Council. And, I mean, that raises a problem, because in theory, the Catholic Church cannot change its doctrine. It might develop, but it can't contradict what it has said before. And so this is the kind of question that I'm getting at. If you really believe that subjection to the Pope is necessary for salvation, well, then again, it makes perfect sense why one would not, no matter how scandalized, leave the Catholic Church, because one would forfeit one's salvation in doing so. But if one doesn't think that is the case, well, then two further questions arise. One, if I can be saved outside of the Catholic Church, can I justify leaving the Catholic Church if I feel disillusioned, if I feel even unsafe? That's a question that everyone as an individual is going to have to answer. But the other question, and perhaps more important theological question, is if I don't believe subjection to the papacy is necessary for salvation, but the Church herself taught that for hundreds of years, am I admitting that the Church can be wrong even in its formal definition of doctrine? And if that's the case, that might be another reason to leave the Catholic Church. That has nothing to do with the scandal itself.
Here's my kind of private theory on this, Dr. Moss, and I'm curious what you think. And I'm not trying to impugn the ideas or the motives of any Roman Catholics here. I just think this is probably the best explanation for what we're seeing here. And that is, Roman Catholics, in their time in the pew, have been taught in one form or another that to leave the church is tantamount to apostasy, even if you go to another church, and that it is to, while there may be salvation outside the Roman Catholic Church, and of course there's a lot in their catechism that does affirm that in very strange and bizarre ways. There may be a possibility of salvation out there. There is certainly no certainty of salvation. The only place I can be certain of it, speaking as a Roman Catholic or for the Roman Catholic, is here. So regardless of what I witness, regardless of how much it pains me, here I stay.
No, you're absolutely right. And even after Vatican II, and even in the most recent catechism, I mean, that's actually stated pretty explicitly. So while on the one hand, the catechism wants to grant that it is possible to be saved outside of the Catholic Church, it wants to go so far, in fact, as to say that it's possible to be saved not having any knowledge of the Church or even any knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ himself. And yet, on the other hand, it says that those who know that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God himself and refuse to enter the Catholic Church, or who know that and depart from the Catholic Church, forfeit their salvation. They cannot be saved. So, yeah, I think people do hear that in the pews. They do read that in the catechism, and I understand why that would be a very, very real concern. And I don't want to, again, impugn the motives or speak flippantly, but if that's what people are hearing and that's what people believe, I can understand why people might feel like they are, in a sense, being held hostage. No matter how bad things get, no matter how badly the current hierarchy is dealing with the problem, or even refusing to deal with the problem, or even preventing people who want to deal with the problem from dealing with the problem, I can't leave. I'm stuck here, or I forfeit my salvation.
So how do we deal with that the thorniest of questions there, which you raise in your most recent article in The Federalist, and that is there any scandal that could shake loose faithful Roman Catholics given what they have been taught to believe about their church?
And that there is the question. If one says, well, yes, that things could get bad enough that I would have to leave, then it sounds like you are granting that what the Church teaches about the necessity of being in communion with the Pope is false. It sounds like you're granting that what your Church teaches is not true. But if you grant that what it does teach is true, then it would seem to follow that there is no scandal, there is no crime, there is no cover-up that could possibly compel you to leave, or even tempt you to leave. And, I mean, this is Rod Dreher over at the American Conservative website. He himself, in the light of the 2002 scandals, left Catholicism for Eastern Orthodoxy. And so he's been following this relatively closely and reporting on it and commenting on it. And I think it was just in the last week, he just raised the question in one of his blogs, asking people to weigh in and explain why you have remained or will remain in the Catholic Church in spite of the scandal, or weigh in and explain why you have left the Catholic Church in light of the scandal. And so, it's very informative. And to his credit, Rod said, I don't want any arguments as to why people should or shouldn't stay. I just want you to explain why you do stay or why you have not stayed. And it's a real eye-opener. I mean, there are a number of people who are responding to that question really struggling about whether or not they should stay. What exactly do I believe? What exactly do I know? How do I weigh my options? There are others who are very forthright in saying there are no options. But one of the commenters that I quoted came right out and said that even if every bishop were to be found a serial rapist and a murderer and an abortionist, he would not leave. And so the final question is, if that really is one's understanding of the necessity of being in communion with the Bishop of Rome and so remaining in the Catholic Church, doesn't that contribute to the kind of mindset that has allowed this scandal to develop. Namely, the mindset that says the laity simply have to show up, believe what they're told, do what they're told, and maybe we'll reform, maybe we won't, but at the end of the day, you don't have a say in this. And some people are perfectly willing to take that line. Other people have not been willing to take that line.
Dr. Corey Moss is assistant professor of history at Hillsdale College, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Is There Any Church Abuse Too Far for the Catholic Faithful? You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Moss, thank you.
Thank you so much.
While most of us were safely celebrating Thanksgiving with our loved ones, members of the U.S. military were deployed around the world away from family and friends. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports almost 200 chaplains who represent the church on active duty, the reserves, the National Guard, and Civil Air Patrol. Learn more about their efforts at lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. When we return, we'll study the hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying, with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.